Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Hello, welcome to another episode of Fungela. Our guest this week is Marcus D. Wiley. Very hilarious comedian. He has a special out right now called Rehab. It's the follow-up to his special before that called Marriage is Major Surgery. Both of them hilarious. And he's actually recording another special this weekend. So start watching his specials if you haven't already so you can get caught up. And then you can also get caught up by listening to this episode with Marcus D. Wiley. We have a great conversation. He's so funny. And so powerful. Like when he speaks, like he speaks and he's saying something. Loved our conversation together. Before you watch the episode, don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcast or follow us, subscribe, leave us a comment. You can comment on Spotify. You can comment on YouTube. You can comment on our Instagram and TikTok videos. Just comment, talk to us, tell us stuff. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail message and tell us what you're grateful for or what you're mad about or if you need advice about something. And Danielle will give you all the information on ways that you can contact us.
Yes. So give us a call or send a text message to 747-300-5380. You can email us at fungelapodcast@gmail.com. And then, of course, there's always that form on Angela's website, which is simply angela.com.
Thank you very much, Danielle. And hey, guys, enjoy this episode. Oh, also my special. I keep forgetting to tell people. Watch my special if you haven't already. It's on YouTube. It's called Ugly Baby right now on YouTube. Go watch it if you haven't. If you have, send it to your friends and tell them to watch it. And then watch this episode with my friend, my new friend. I just met him today. My new friend, Marcus D. Wiley.
We just want to have fun.
You did a one season podcast.
Two seasons.
Yeah. Two seasons.
Soon as they said we could be back outside.
Right.
I was done with it.
Well, now we got a new virus on a cruise ship that maybe you bring your podcast back for a third season.
I don't want to do it.
I know. Me either. Oh my gosh. Hey, thank you for being here.
Sure.
You just flew in.
Yes.
You just landed.
Yes.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yeah.
You're at Zany's this weekend?
All weekend, shooting a special Sunday.
Oh my God, another one?
Yeah, two. Hopefully two.
What?
Yeah, two on Sunday. Because, you know, I've been doing it. I've been doing it since 2002.
Uh-huh.
And so I have a lot of stuff that people hadn't seen.
Okay.
That I'm just kind of refurbishing.
Okay.
Adding some new stuff to it.
Smart.
New special.
Look at that.
You know what I'm saying?
I watched your last two.
Okay. You watched Marriage Major Surgery?
Yes.
Yeah.
I watched that one when that one came out. And then Rehab.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Thank you.
Even if you're not like watching it, just listening to it, I can like see it. I see you paint the picture so well, everything that you're doing. And your style is so like... I feel like I'm at church. I feel like I'm at a TED Talk. I feel like it's the most entertaining sermon I've ever heard, you know? Like, I feel like if pastors could do what you do, then more people would come. But you have a message behind everything you say. And even just like as a comedian listening to you and watching just how you're like – I don't want to say formula, but all of a sudden you brought something back and you tied it in that I was like, look at this. You thought that was just a one-off thing you just said. And then you brought it back and all of a sudden it has like this huge message tied to it. And sure. I was like, wow.
So I get that a lot. You know, I'm a pastor's kid, first of all. So my dad and my grandfather and my great-grandfather, and I have a couple of uncles, all pastor churches.
Wow.
And so, of course, that's my style because I just was raised in it.
Okay.
But, you know, my dad would always say, if you're going to say something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard for me to just, I guess, do a joke without having some type of point or perspective. You know what I mean? I want to just be free, but I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you first started doing stand-up, because you said, how long you been doing it? You just said?
Since 02.
Since 02.
Mm-hmm.
Did you preach before that? Did
no,
you?
I'm not a preacher.
Okay, so you never followed in the family business.
No, so the special I'm shooting Sunday is called When the Church Met the Club.
Okay.
And so now I'm taking a break from the marriage.
Okay.
And now I'm getting ready to kind of tell my story.
Oh, I love it.
And so, yeah, no, but I've never been preacher. They always wanted me to be.
I can imagine.
But, you know.
Well, okay, so what'd you do before stand-up?
Which job? I mean, I had several.
Yeah.
But I worked at BET. I produced a show called Hits from the Streets for 3 years on BET. Professor, Texas Southern University.
What did you teach?
Communications.
Okay.
Everything under that umbrella.
Yeah.
I was on a Yolanda Adams morning show. It was a Christian morning show, syndicated, first one ever, 15 years.
Whoa.
I was on that, but I was a comedian. You know, I was the comic on that show.
Okay.
And then I've been everything from a bank teller to a college recruiter, volleyball coach, salesman in the mall at the stores, a bunch of stuff.
Now, stand-up is clearly your gift and what you do. But of all the jobs that you've had in the past, things, is there anything that you not miss, but you're like, I loved that. That was.
Yeah, being a professor. I love teaching. You know, I always wanted to be the type of professor that I would have wanted when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I took my favorite professors, took a little bit from them.
Yes.
Put my, you know, stank on it.
Yeah.
And then that's how I presented it.
Oh, I bet your students loved you.
Yeah. Go to Rate My Professor. You'll see.
Oh, I didn't know that's a thing.
It's a thing. Yeah.
Rate My Professor.
RateMyProfessor.com. Mm-hmm. Type Marcus D. Wiley in.
Wow.
And you go see all the stuff that they have
to say. You got some good Yelp reviews on there.
Got some good ones.
Oh.
But some real ones, you know, because they don't tell you, man, I hate he's on time. Uh-huh. As you know, I'm never late.
Uh-huh.
So I would lock my door. You can't get in my class. My class, it was like a club. So the line would be long outside, you know. Yeah. And I locked the door. So you see him running, trying to get there.
Yes.
Because time is everything.
Mm.
You know, and I think when you have time down, your money's up.
Okay.
Yeah, people who good with time typically have money.
Dang, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. I need to be better. I'll be honest. I need to be better at time. Like this, I'm so, because you arrived early, right? He arrived early, and some may say that means on time. Because if you're on time, that means you're late in some people's world.
Yes.
And so I'm just so grateful that I was actually here and like not like running around being like, oh my God, hold on. I was ready to start at like 5 minutes late is what I considered on time.
Yeah. It's new.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, on this podcast, we do Mattitudes and Gratitudes, okay? And I like to get to know you through the lens of gratitude, like what you're grateful for and all of that. But we start with Mattitude.
Okay.
We start with what makes you mad? What gets on your nerves? What annoys you? Okay. What is that thing that you're like, this is my Mattitude?
Okay. Ooh, let me pick. I can only have one?
You can give me a couple.
Give me a couple. Okay.
Yeah.
First one I'm going to go with right now, tipping. Now, I'm a good tipper. I'm a great tipper.
Uh-huh.
But I just fundamentally, I have a problem with you making me tip.
Okay. Yes.
You know, when I'm at Chipotle or Subway or just whatever, and I get paying, I get to the end and it's 15, 18, 22%. I mean, you know, it's like, what did you do? I mean, tipping was typically, I thought, for the restaurant.
That's right.
You know, people who's serving you, who's coming out, refilling the tea and. You know, you need this, you need that.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have a problem tipping, but it's just it's a force now everywhere I go. It don't matter. So I don't like that.
Let me ask you a question. I went I went to the Bruno Mars concert the other night.
Okay.
And I got some chicken tendies.
Okay.
And some tater tots.
Okay.
And I paid for it.
Yeah.
And then it asked for what kind of tip I wanted to leave. Yeah. For the concession?
For the concession stand.
That's not even good. It's Come been on. Sitting in this little glass case.
Right, under a light.
Under a light?
Come on, yeah. So I'm tripping with that. And like I have a problem in this. So I took my family out to eat the other night, and we were celebrating something. It's so much stuff to celebrate these days. And we were out, and because it was seven of us, they already put the gratuity in.
Okay.
I'm fine with that, but I would have tipped more.
Sure.
Yep. And the fact that she already had the gratuity out, it rubbed me the wrong way.
But what about if it's not her?
It's not her.
It's the manager make her do it.
And I'm sure that's what that is. But I'm just saying it rubbed me the wrong way that night.
Yeah.
And I have to go back because I keep telling myself I'm going back to the restaurant because I got to give her some more money. Because that night I was so mad, I didn't give nothing. Because it was from the other tips. The other tips of the world that everywhere I'm going, I'm just...
they ruining it.
Like... They already took the money out, you know. So she did get tipped, don't get me wrong. But I would have tipped way more than what, you know, just generally. But, yeah, so that's one thing, tipping.
That's a, give me another one. You said you had a couple more.
Another one. I don't like how people take shots at the church.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, I'm a church boy. I'm from the church. It's like everything's the church fault, you know. I mean, they talk so bad about the church and the especially pastors, and me being a preacher's kid, I'm like, yo, y'all don't know the half of what it's like, you know, for pastors.
And typically, I feel like preacher's kids are like...
The worst?
The worst. Yeah. Like, I feel like you would be the one taking shots.
No, we're not the worst. It's just that you all didn't let us be regular.
Okay.
And so anything we did, it seemed like it was the worst.
Okay.
You know, if you see regular kids dancing, then you saw the pastor's kid dance. You know, it's a big deal. When it was just, hey, I'm just dancing. Okay. I know how to dance too.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I grew up with a lot of pastor's kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're very mischievous.
Let me
now.
Tell you, they was hoeing out here in these streets. Okay. I dated a pastor's kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we regular people.
He loved to sin. Let me tell you. He did. Yes.
We regular. We regular people. I don't know why people think because you from church, you in church,
sure.
As if you like something different. I'm just like you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like the guy you dated. Yeah. We like sin too. You know what I'm saying? We just trying not to do it. But you know, we get overwhelmed.
That's right.
We get overwhelmed from time to time. So yeah, we regular people.
Is your dad still a pastor?
He's dead. I don't know if
he's a pastor. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, you're good. No, you're good. It's been years. I don't know if they pass. I don't know if they pastoring in heaven, but
Jesus,
but,
like I got this. I got it from here. I'll take it from here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, but no, he's gone, and you know,
are both your parents passed on?
No, my mom. She lives with me.
Okay.
Yeah, she's like my child.
Okay.
And that's a whole nother story. But yeah, so my
mom
is
here. Next hour after this.
Yeah,
hour.
Man. Yeah, dealing with. You know, somebody that think they still run things.
Oh.
And they don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's clear that you don't run anything. I mean, it's clear. Like, I don't even see what's the struggle about. I took your keys from you. You don't have a car anymore. You know.
How old is she?
75.
Oh, my gosh. She's so young.
Yeah, but she act old.
Okay.
Yeah, but 75 and just, you know, not as sharp as she used to be. And it's, and you know, I always tell her, Mama, you're slip hanging. You know, you're not as sharp as you used to be, you know, so the comeback's not the same. And she gets feelings hurt a lot.
I imagine.
Yeah. Because she used to be, you know, quick-witted.
Is that where you get it from?
Pretty much.
Okay.
And, you know, and I come from a family with no feelings. Okay. So we just say, we say what we want to say and you have to get over it. And, you know, and now because she's older, she's got softer, now she's in her feelings. And I'm going, oh, come on, Mama. That was nothing when I see it. So we're dealing with that.
Oh, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit nervous. My my hour specials coming out this weekend. Okay, By the time this episode comes out, it will have been out.
Okay.
And in my past few hour specials, I do, I talk about my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
She loves it. Yeah. She'll comment on the clips when they come up because she's on her Facebook. You know, she'll comment. She loves it.
Yeah.
And for some reason in this hour, because I feel like as she's getting older, she's getting a little more sensitive. I'm like, I really don't want her to like be upset and think that I'm making fun of her because what I'm saying is not mean-spirited or anything, but she has changed a little bit and she's a little more sensitive.
Yeah.
Now. So I'm like, I hope we're good.
So you'd have run out of these jokes.
I did when I was writing it, and I would tell her, like, I'm talking about this.
Yeah, but she didn't heard the people laughing at it yet.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So I'm borderline because I'm doing a little premiere party and like I opened it up at Zany's. I'm doing a little premiere. We're all going to watch it together. And my mother-in-law is coming and she's going to be there.
Yeah.
And so she's going to hear everybody laughing at me talking about her. So I don't want to feel like we're laughing at you.
Yeah.
Like, so it's a whole situation. So I'm borderline. I'm thinking about I'm going to go to the house and like show it to her first and be like, oh, look, I'm going to give you a little sneak peek.
That might be a good thing to do.
Yeah. And so we could like laugh together.
Yeah.
And then I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you don't
I think this just confirmed it.
You don't want her to hit a roar and it's her first time.
Yes.
So they laughing at me?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then she's going to tell her son.
Exactly. Yes.
And that's a bad place to be in between your wife and your mom.
Shoot.
I mean, you know. Yeah. I know that. Yeah. So that's why. I just pissed both of them off so they could be on the same team. Because they live, you know, my mom lived with us.
Yeah.
And so neither one of them like me, and I'm fine with that, long as they get along. Because what I can't have is them not getting along. Yeah, so, I had a little strategy, and it's been working.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. It worked. I've always got along with my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
She lives right across the street.
Oh, for real?
Literally in that house, right across the street.
Okay.
And I love it.
Yeah.
Like, we get along so well. I've always had a great relationship with her, so I'm hoping it stays that way.
Yeah.
These are some really good attitudes you have here. But let's move into gratitude.
Okay.
Let's get to know you. I want to know what you're grateful for. And it could be something from your childhood to something that happened on the flight on the way here.
Okay.
Like anything in your life, from your career to your family. What are you? Give me one thing that you're grateful for.
I'm grateful to be raised in an era where rejection was normal.
Oh. See, this is what I'm saying. He can't just say words. He has to have like some sort of like power message behind it. Mogon, say it. Tell me more.
Because, you know, I grew up where, you know, parents could say no to the kid without any explanation, any reason.
Yeah.
Just no. Mom, can I go outside? No. Why? Then you know, I know you weren't ready for that. You know, that's this black household I was in. And so, you know, because you couldn't talk back. But then even trying to talk to females, girls, you know, we didn't have social media and all that. So you had to actually walk up to them and, you know, present your case. And, you know, girls back then was rough. No, especially if they didn't want you, you know, look at your face all scrunched up. Boy, please get out of my face, you know, all that. And what that did, it did a several things, you know, definitely it motivated men, oh, let me get it together because right now she don't want me. You know, there's a song about it. Back then, didn't want me. Now I'm hot, all on me. But the rejection it just taught me that that's a part of the world.
Yeah,
you know. So even as I got older and got into my career and got get rejected,
wow,
it's not a big deal. Like, you know, I'm a win in the end, regardless. But you know, but. If I didn't come from the era of being rejected, I think I'll probably handle it with, you know, oh, I'm depressed or, you know, or something else like that now. Yeah.
That's so wise. I never thought about it that way because I'm so like, you know, in the generations today, it's like everybody gets a trophy.
Sure.
You know, that everybody. Kind of thing. And then growing up, it was not the case. And I'm so grateful for like doing cheerleading competition and not winning first place.
Yeah.
And that really prepared me for when I auditioned for this role and I did not get it.
And didn't get it.
I never thought about it that way. That's, yeah. That's
and I never thought less than, because let me be clear. Even when the girls, and I'm going to stay with the girls, even when I would try to talk to the cheerleaders and the majorettes, you know, the girls I wanted,
okay.
and they would turn me down, I never thought something was wrong with me.
Uh-huh.
I always thought something was just wrong with them. You know, because I was like, bro, you don't know who you rejected.
Uh-huh.
I'm like that. I mean, I know right now I'm acne and my head is bigger than my body, but trust,
uh-huh.
It's going to get better.
I'll get there.
Yeah. And so even today, when I get turned down, I never look at it like I was less than or I wasn't good enough. I look at it like, hey, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Were you fly when you met your wife?
Oh, I was on.
Oh,
I was all the way on when I met my wife now. Oh, yeah. This is college. I'm 24.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it going on.
You found it.
Yeah. See, so I graduated high school. I was 5'7", 5'8".
Okay.
Then my first year in college, I went from that to 6'1".
Whoa.
And then matriculated up to 6'3".
Whoa.
And once I got 6'3", I'm going to tell you, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. They see me now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, when you're tall, they see you.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
I mean, when you're a short guy, no disrespect, but when you're a short guy, unless you're standing on your wallet, as I heard DL say, that one time. But I don't have to stand on my wallet. I can just stand up.
Uh-huh.
And so, and I'm seen, you mm-hmm. know, so height helps.
Yeah.
It helps. Yeah, it helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me another gratitude in your life.
I'm grateful for perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a plus, a positive for me is being able to look at stuff, you know, from different angles, you know, not just mine. Even if I don't agree with what you said or what somebody did, at least I can see it from your perspective. Okay. And I think that helps me with sympathy, empathy,
yes.
compassion, you know, things of that nature, because I can see the perspective.
So how do you, when you are able to see somebody else's perspective, if mm-hmm. it's a topic of discussion that maybe you're passionate about or mm-hmm. like emotions can...
Yeah.
get involved.
Yeah.
Like obviously like the easy point out is politics or something.
Sure.
Like how do you balance like seeing the other person's perspective when you're fully on a different page
yeah.
as them? Like how do you do that?
Yeah, I just basically just say, you know, we see this differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see where you coming from possibly, but you know, I don't know. I will try to explain it better. Like, you know, your perspective is whack.
Oh.
On this particular thing is why I try not to say it, but it's whack on this particular, you know. Yeah. I'm not into really sugarcoating. If I don't agree, I don't agree.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, I come from an era of storytelling
mm-hmm.
because we didn't have phones.
Mm.
So I couldn't come. I have to come in and say, hey, such and such gentleman just had a fight. And they're like, what? What happened? And so now I can't show it to you on the phone. I had to tell you. All right, Tim walked in.
Mm.
Mark was sitting on the table. Tim said, you know, so you paint this picture so for the people who were not there. And you like, it's like you taking them there where mm-hmm. they can see it
yeah.
to where now they can take what you said and go tell some other folk who was absent.
Mm-hmm.
And tell them, you know, you want to explain that clearly. And so that's what perspective is. It's like, I'm going to keep going until you can see it clearly.
Yeah. Okay. Your storytelling is so good because I just went with you on that journey right now. And then this is what my brain said. My brain said, have any of your students ever been to your shows to see you? Because I'm listening to you talk, and then I'm imagining like if I was your student and be like, that is so cool. That's my professor, and I'm like, I wonder if any of them ever been to your shows. They've been to your shows.
Yes, and now that I'm touring, you know, they from all over, so you know they come to the shows.
Yeah,
and but when I was a professor, and I was a comedian, of course, that's how I ran my class. So I would put them in groups,
uh-huh.
Certain classes, and then what you would do is. You would win all these challenges.
Yeah.
And then the group that wins, I would fly them to a show. Like, it wasn't a special back then. It was just I was doing a recording.
Uh-huh.
And I would record, like, say, in Atlanta. And I would fly the winning groups.
Wow.
Because I want to let them know it's about growth, not grades.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
I want, and I would make them do my work, you know, my company, Wileywood Entertainment.
Okay.
So when I had a book, my book is called Hustle and Faith.
Uh-huh.
I need y'all to design what my book cover going to look like. So the groups would do them.
Uh-huh.
And wow. Then I would, okay, I'm going with this one.
Wow.
Then the next challenge, okay, I got to do a photo shoot.
So your students designed your book cover?
They designed my book cover. I used to do calendars, right? Because I really was feeling myself.
Was it you on every page?
Yes.
Wow.
And now I'm going to have my family, like my son, maybe me and my son on one, me and my wife on one, all of us on one. Then all the people I work with, my role manager, my lawyer, my, you know, everybody.
We'd
be on
the page. Where are you slinging this calendar at? Where is it?
Oh, we did four of them. Yeah, we did four from, we did 09, 11, 13, and 15. So every other year. 12 months of Marcus. And then phones took over. That's what killed me, the phones.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, this one people would put it, you know, hang the calendar on
That's
the wall.
Right.
Yeah, and all that. But you don't see calendar. You don't have a calendar in there.
Nope.
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 Everything on the phone. So
on the phone.
They killed me. I was making good money off them calendars.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like a, what you call it, centerfold.
Oh.
Yeah, Chippendale.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So dumb. Oh, my gosh. The only time I did a calendar, I used to be a professional cheerleader for the Oakland Raiders at the time.
Oh, for real?
Yes. Now they're Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Back when we were in Oakland, I was a cheerleader for the Raiders, and we did calendars.
Yeah.
And that's how I saved up enough money to move to Hollywood to pursue my dreams.
Wow.
I sold my calendars.
Okay.
And then I would also... Once I got to LA, I was technically still in contract with the Raiders. I left, I got to LA in February. I was in contract until June.
Okay.
So I still had my uniform and everything, and I still had my calendars. So let me tell you, I would go to the Raider Image store in the mall, and I would do my little calendar signings on the weekend.
Yeah.
My cousin, he was in radio. He did the morning radio show in LA at the time, Big Boys Neighborhood, and he was Joe Grande.
Okay.
And, so he would do, spots where he'd be like, yeah, Joe Grande's gonna be at, you know, Tires and Wheels in Pacoima and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, come get your oil changed this weekend with Joe Grande. I would go with him
and
to all his spots and I would bring my calendars. And I would sell my calendars.
So it was 12 months of you?
No, no, it wasn't just me. I was like on maybe two of the months.
Okay, I got you. I got
sharing
you.
It with seven other cheerleaders.
With other cheerleaders.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
cool,
yeah.
Cool,
it was
cool.
Just the Raiderette
okay.
calendar.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
And people was getting it.
Oh, yeah.
How much were you selling it for?
Not at that time. It was maybe like $13 or something.
Yeah, we were selling ours for $30, $25, $30, huh, Neil?
Oh, you're rich. Yeah. You're rich, rich. Yeah. No, no, no. I just saved up a couple thousand dollars. That was it. And that's all I needed to move to LA. I was like, done. I'm going to be rich.
So you knew you wanted to be a comedian?
No, I wanted to be an actress.
You want to be an actress?
I thought I was going to be a dramatic actress.
Okay, gotcha.
I was like, I'm going to go be on Law & Order SVU. So let me go ahead and get my butt down to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Had no idea I was funny.
Yeah.
And I took a joke writing class at a church. And that's how I started doing stand-up.
You gotta stop lying.
Swear.
A joke writing class at a church.
A free class.
It don't even go together.
Uh-huh.
A joke writing class at the church.
Because it was in Hollywood. So they knew everybody
who comes
to this
church. In Hollywood, not even real.
Church. We barely even talk about Jesus at this church. We talk about, okay, what do you guys want to be? But every Tuesday night, they had creative arts ministry, okay?
Okay.
And so it'd be creative arts night.
Okay, that's
so
dope.
They'd have a dance class, a singing class, an acting class, a production class if you wanted
to
learn production.
Yeah.
And I was in the acting class.
Okay.
And we would play like improv games in the acting class.
Yeah.
And I was funny in the improv games.
Yeah.
And there was a woman there who was like, hey, do you want to come take my joke writing class?
Yeah.
My stand-up comedy class. And I was like, I don't know. Is it free?
Do I have to sell more calendars?
Yeah. She's like, yeah, it's free. It's just in that room over there. She's basically asking me, poaching me from this room to go to that room is what it was. And I was like, yeah, sure, I guess. So I went and then... In that class, I wrote that nail salon bit that ended up blowing up my spot on YouTube.
And that bit was cold right there.
Thank
That's
you.
A cold bit.
Thank you.
It travels.
Thank you.
Because like I said, I just showed my wife and, man, she on the floor crying. And I'm just, you know, laughing, you know. Uh-huh. And I'm like, she like, because that's how they are. You know, she all on it.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yeah, so.
Wild.
Wow, you wrote that joke right there. That's
dope. Yeah, in the class, in the free class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you supposed to, all this money you made, you supposed to have given some of that money back to that church.
Oh, I did. Okay. They had my tithe on auto pay. They had my tithe on auto pay for a minute.
That's crazy.
Give me that's another good. Grateful from your life.
I'm grateful for, I mean, can I say family or is that too cheesy? Yeah.
And I mean, no, just give me specific.
Oh, yeah. I'm grateful for my wife, you know, because I tried to divorce her. God knows I did. I tried to divorce her. And you know, we separated, as I said on my special, for like 6 months. Uh-huh. We had been married at the time by 5 years. We separated by 6 months. And, man, getting back together, it probably was the best decision I've ever made. It was even better than the decision I made to marry her, was getting back with her. Mm. Because, you know, not that she don't get on my nerves. Let me be clear.
Okay.
But I think what people don't understand is you need that.
Mm. Okay.
It's like you need it. Now, of course, we don't want it. Yeah. So I'm not sitting up here acting like I want it. But it's like you need a little friction, a little back against the back, her back. Uh-huh. You know, you just need that in order to kind of become who you trying to become. Mm. You know, marriage does a good job of diagnosing you. Oh. You see what I'm saying?
See.
It develop you, but it also diagnose you. Like, ugh. I see all my shortcomings and flaws in the marriage. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But we always looking at the other person.
Sure.
But yeah, but you know, I've been diagnosed, and so grateful that, you know, that she stuck around. So, you know, it's been 28 years, going on 29, and so yeah, and I'm grateful for my kids. You know, I have a son, 18, he graduated this year. Got a full basketball scholarship.
Wow.
Because I told him, hey, I'll pay for AAU, and that's pretty much college tuition. Okay. You've been playing AAU since 4. And I told him, either you got 3 options. You get a school scholarship, you can go to the service, or you can go to the streets. It's 3 things you can do. It's school, it's the service, it's the streets. But I'm not paying for college. And so, and I don't care what you get a scholarship in. You could cheerlead, you could play chess. I'm not paying. And so he buckled down, you know, he's a good kid, and got him a full scholarship, got him a full ride.
Where's
and
he going?
He's going to a community college that I went to.
Nice.
Called Angelina Community College. It's in Lufkin, Texas, like 2 hours outside of Houston.
Nice.
So he's going to go there first, and then he'll transfer to D1.
Yeah.
That's how they do it today.
Okay.
You know, kids, you know, they play until they're like 28 now. Uh-huh. You know. It's just crazy. But I told him, take advantage of it. And so, yeah, and then I have my daughter, Charlie.
Charlie, your daughter's name is Charlie. I love that.
Yeah, Charlie. C H A R L I, no E.
Oh, that's cute.
So Charlie and Charlie.
Oh, that's cute.
Charlie, she's 8. She's bad, but she's so cute.
Tell me
that she gets away with it. Mm. You know. Now, how old is your daughter?
She's about to be 3.
Oh yeah, man. Wait, just wait.
Oh my God, tell me. Like, what's something she does that's bad?
Let me tell you what Charlie just did, and this one I knew. I said, "Oh man, my wife about to start catching it." So Charlie says to me, "Hey Dad, are you gonna get my braids done?" And then my wife, she's good at answering for her children, right? Mm-hmm. Now she was talking to me. She said, "Dad, are you gonna get my braids done?" And my wife Erica was like, "No, Charlie." She said, "I'm talking to Dad." And listen, I just fell out laughing. My wife is mad.
Uh-huh.
She looking at me like, why are you laughing? I'm laughing because I always tell you, let them answer. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, because she always want to come defend them, you know, answer for them. And Charlie was very clear, "Dad, are you going to get my braids done?" And she's like, "No, we're going to get your braids done. I'm talking to Dad." And man, it stumped my wife. Oh man, she got so mad and, you know, yelling at Charlie, "You don't talk to me like that." You know, and I was just over here.
Mm-hmm.
Mind your business. Mind your business.
Yeah, she's strong-willed.
Charlie? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is she the one that, like, when you tell her something, she needs to know why? Like, like explain
sometimes
it to
but yeah but Charlie Moore, she, you know, she's gonna be like in the clubs. She's we've come to that you know, conclusion. She likes dancing. Watch this. No one do no schoolwork. But she could put that phone, put that TikTok on, and learn to dance just like this. Nobody teaching her nothing. Then she come in there and show you, Dad. All this type of stuff, and I'm like, stripper.
Oh, no.
not a stripper, but definitely a dancer. Exotic one, though. definitely dancing. Yeah. So, but I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my mom still to be around, you know. Yeah, so it's beautiful because, you know, I grew up, I'm an only child. So I really wasn't, I really didn't have a family dynamic growing up the way I have today. Yeah. And so real appreciative, real grateful for that.
Tim, so I have one child.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. I grew up with many siblings.
Okay.
So sometimes I feel a type of way about having an only child because I only know how to have siblings. Like, yeah. I don't know what it's like being an only child.
Yeah.
And like, I love my siblings. I loved our relationships. And like, we got on our nerves. We fought and all that. But sometimes I feel sad that she's going to be an only child. Did you feel any kind of being sad of being an only child? We're like, I wish I had brothers and sisters.
No. I felt great being the only child. Never felt sad, and maybe because I, you know, I had two guys, you know, my two best friends. I met them in sixth grade. We still, you know, they like brothers to me. They like my brothers. Mm. Now, let me be clear. I have other brothers and sisters. Okay.
Like DNA, blood, brothers
yeah.
and sisters.
Okay. Okay, so let me explain. I know. So, my mom and my biological father never married.
Okay.
My biological father is a preacher, was a preacher. He died too. And his father, my grandfather, pastor. My mom was at their church.
Okay, so he was the PK that I'm talking about.
Definitely, because now you're about
I'm
to
tracking.
See him.
Now I'm tracking. Okay.
So my mom was over here at their church while my family was over here at our church. My mama, fast. So she over here at these people's church. Well, this church kicked my grandfather out.
Okay.
Because he was real strict type pastor. And the new pastor come in.
Okay.
And that's who my mama married.
Oh.
So that is the pastor who raised me.
Oh.
So my biological father now, you know, he got kids. And then my stepfather.
Okay.
He had kids, you know, he had a previous marriage or whatever. And so that's what I'm saying. I got people.
Oh, but this is
I didn't write, but nobody was in the house with me though.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
So I'm an only child in that way.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good telenovela right here.
It's
juicy.
Yeah. It's juicy. Yeah. It's definitely juicy. I'm going to put it on stage one day, man. Oh, it's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, that's the next special. Look, you already got your next three specials.
Well,
already,
I'm working on two of them already.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know.
Wowza. Okay.
Yeah.
Give me some more gratitude from your life.
Yeah. I'm grateful. What am I grateful for? You know what I'm grateful for? I'm a little nasally right now, but I ain't never been sick.
Like a real illness. That's good.
I ain't never had. I broke my wrist before. I've had stitches. I had to get stitches on my back one time trying to do something stupid. I tore my meniscus in my left knee. But I ain't never been sick. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you hear people who just sick be catching it. And that's really not me, you know.
You got a good immune system.
A good immune. That's because I grew up bathing with people. See, did you bathe with your siblings?
Yeah, but you didn't have siblings. Who were you bathing with?
Cousins. I have cousins.
Oh, okay.
And then women. Hello. I mean, God, no. I mean, you don't think me and women ever took baths together? Yeah, come get in this tub, girl. And so that helped. And then drinking out the water hose, using Johnson & Johnson's baby powder. They tell you you shouldn't use it, but I grew up on it. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, ice cubes. You know, we had the ice tray.
Uh-huh, yes.
And you would get the water out of the faucet, put an ice tray, put that in there. Yeah, growing up off that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Good immune. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, very, very thankful and grateful for that.
I would be too.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say the same. I've never had a real bad illness. I had appendicitis. Is that an illness?
No, just something you had right quick.
And they just took it out.
They took it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My dad had appendicitis too. He didn't know it though. He's one of those guys that will not go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Unless like he got in a motorcycle accident. Yeah. Cause he's been in 5 motorcycle accidents.
For real?
Yes.
And lived?
Yes. The last one was the worst one where he was like, he FaceTimed me from the side of the road, laying on the freeway with his helmet on still, FaceTimed me. He's like, this one's bad, bitch.
This one's bad.
Yeah. Yes. You see the ambulance in the background, and I'm like, what is going on? He will not go to the hospital unless he has to. He had to go to the hospital that day, and my sister went and met him at the hospital. She's picking asphalt out of his face.
Yeah.
Just like, he will not go
to the hospital. And he's still riding.
Yes. Oh, my God. He just rode to, he lives in California, the Bay Area, and he just rode to Phoenix. I had a show in Phoenix, and he rode out there because I have a lot of family in Phoenix.
Okay.
So he came to come and be a part of it, just rode his bike. He's wild. But yeah, he had appendicitis. He didn't even know by the time he went in. He had gangrene on the insides because he wouldn't go.
Because he don't go, yeah. I don't mind going to the doctor. You tell me. Yeah, I need to know what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cool with whatever the news is going to be. But, you know. But yeah.
That's great.
Never been sick.
Immune system of steel. Come on. Eat healthy or do you eat fresh?
I eat healthy when a special coming up. Okay. I try to eat.
So are you eating healthy right now then? Because you're about to feel.
Uh-huh.
What's your diet look like when you're eating healthy?
So I just drink water, no juices, no sodas, no adult beverages. I only eat grilled and baked fish and chicken.
Wow.
Only green vegetables, no starches, no potatoes, rice, macaroni and cheese, none of that type of stuff.
Wow.
No chips.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
That's the tough one because I'm a potato chip connoisseur. I love chips.
Who's your favorite chip? Who's your chip?
I like chips and salsa.
Talk to me. Let's have a conversation.
Come on.
Now we're getting real, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining the podcast.
That's my favorite.
Today.
That's my favorite. But
what kind of salsa? Let's just pause.
Okay,
for a minute.
All right. So you might not gonna know this salsa because it's a grocery store in Houston. I don't know if they have it here.
If you say H-E-B, yes, I do know.
Okay, H-E-B.
Thank you very much. Continue.
H-E-B has a fresh salsa that they make every day.
Love it. Yeah.
It's top notch.
And do you eat it with an H-E-B chip or do you have a different chip that you
eat? I do different chips because Tostitos has this, it's in a green bag.
Hint of lime.
I like the hint of lime.
Okay.
Not that one. They got the new one or the latest one, Salsa Verde something like that. I like that chip. But H-E-B has a nice chip, too, a little sea salt joint.
Oh, I love H-E-B.
Yeah, I love H-E-B. It's like a club in Houston.
Oh, I love it. They have bars.
Yeah, it's a club. That's what I'm telling you. It's dope.
Oh, my God. I wish they would bring an H-E-B to Nashville.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so you're eating healthy.
Eat healthy.
No chips and salsa right now. And how long before your taping do you do a...
I just try to do a month out because typically I'd be trying to lose about 12 pounds. You know.
That's what it'll take?
That's what it'll take for me to look good on the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because like if you go look at Marriage is a Major Surgery special and then go look at rehab. Uh-huh. See, I didn't eat clean for Marriage is a Major Surgery.
Okay.
Oh, but I eat clean for rehab.
Do you work with a stylist?
No. I feel like I'm okay. And then and let me tell you why. When I first started doing comedy, you know, I was wearing suits a lot. Uh-huh. Right? Because that's what I saw.
Is that what you thought was supposed to?
Yeah. You see all the other comedians doing it.
Uh-huh.
But in order for me now, it's like even though I would like to get all clean and, you know, real fly with it, I don't feel less free to be funny.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
And so, yeah.
I like what you wore in this last special.
I do. Thank you. I do, too. And so, I just like to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. I want to be comfortable, you know, when I'm on stage. And I'm noticing that's helping me.
Yeah.
You know? Because I bought a suit to do when the church met the club. I put it on. I mean, I look good. But is that going to translate to being funny?
Uh-huh.
You know, that's the problem.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I didn't even bring the suit. I just did something different.
Are you filming here?
I'm filming here.
Oh, I thought this was like your warm-up weekend before
No, I'm doing that Zany Sunday.
Oh, good. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two shows, one at 5, one at 7:30.
I mean, I'm going to be at I'm doing my premiere.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You doing it Sunday?
Yeah.
At what time?
I'm in the lab.
I know, in the lab. At, yeah.
1:30.
At 1:30, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, if you want to come check it out, hit me up.
I would love to.
Yeah, just hit me up. I'm doing 5. And like I say, I'm going to knock it out the park at 5. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to do another one, mm-hmm. a different one rather, at 7:30.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So you're going to do your first hour, and if you, like, I got it, yeah, or if the crowd was boo-boo, or you, whatever, then we'll just repeat the show and do it one more.
Because typically, like rehab, imagination surgery, I film both of them. I film two shows, you know,
back
to back.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, let me take the joke off this one and put that one in that one.
Wow.
You
know?
But I've been touring when the church went to clubs. So I didn't tour rehab. I toured marriage and major surgery.
What do you mean you didn't tour rehab? You just went on stage and started talking?
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't understand.
I mean, nah, let me be clear. Like, marriage and major surgery, I toured it, like the show.
Yes.
So I was able to, okay, this worked, this don't work, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Rehab, I was touring, right?
Okay.
But I was touring when the church met the club.
Okay.
This is what I was touring.
Okay.
And they was like, my team was like, hey, you need to do a follow-up to a marriage major surgery, you know, because it had went over 5 million views or whatever, you know, blah, 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 in a year.
Crushed it.
Yeah, and so they was like, you need to do the follow-up. And I was like, okay. And so some of those jokes was what did not make marriage major surgery.
I see what you're saying.
And then I had to orchestrate it, you know, because I write jokes or sets the way I would write a paper. I need an intro, I need body, I need conclusion. That's how I do it now. Yep. I'm not saying this is the way it should be done.
Sure.
Nothing like that. You just have to make sense to me. And so I already knew about rehab. I already knew what rehab was, you know. And I said, okay, well, my body's going to be, you know, my body's going to be, what was it? regain, maintain, and improve. Because that's in the definition of rehab. To regain, maintain, and improve the body after surgery, which is the marriage.
Yeah.
And so that's okay. So I need to put my intro together, put my conclusion together. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I was able to kind of do it.
Well done.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well done. You did it.
You did it.
You did it. Give me another grateful. Give me some more gratitude from your life.
Oh, man. What am I grateful for? I got good people, man. I got good friends. I got people that love me.
I love hearing about people's friends. Tell me about your best friends. Tell me about somebody, like when I say, who's your best friend? Or something good happens besides your wife, who's the first person you're going to call?
Besides my wife, first person I'm going to call is, I probably call my road manager, Neil, on that. You know, he been with me since I started doing comedy. Yeah, and so, you know, he know pretty much everything, all of the, you know, where we started from and where we're at today, you know. And so I'll probably call Neil. Then I'd call, you know, now I'm calling Ali, you know, Sadiq. We've been knowing each other. I started doing comedy in his rooms that he had in Houston. And then it was his idea that I even leave the church, not leave the church, but come out of the churches and start performing in clubs. And so, you know, he produced the specials. He produced my specials, you know, paid for them. Thank you. And and then introduced me to his platform, which kind of, I believe, you know, jump started me.
Yeah.
And then I just, it's just been going ever since then. So,
was
you know.
Was that your first special, major surgery?
It was my, it was, no, it's not my first special. Yeah, I have two of them on my website. One is called Bathtubs and Bibles, and another one is called Grown, Gray, Forgiven, right? But those ones I did, and I did them at churches.
Yeah.
So they don't look like
these. Yeah.
Yeah, but I've done maybe, what, Neil, about 14 recordings?
My gosh.
Recordings. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Not specials.
Okay.
Because I was touring the church circuit.
Yeah.
Right. I would be at these churches all across the country, and I'm a repeat. You know, when they like you, come back next year. You might come do a church. I might do a church 2-3 times that year.
Wow.
So I had to be writing new material and all this type of stuff. And so, So I would do a recording so I could have stuff to sell because they would always have my stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, you got something else? I already got that. So that kept me doing stuff, you know? So, yeah. So I have four, I would say, specials right now, you know, and this is about to be five this weekend and hopefully six.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That is, I've been doing it for 20 years. I don't write that fast. I go very slowly, and it takes me probably about 3 years to cultivate an hour.
And which is good, because what I'm sharing with you earlier, that's how it should be. Like, you got a lot of people out here. I mean, don't get me wrong, the stuff is hot, but it's not done. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's different. You know, hot and done is two different things.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? And so I done had a lot of hot food. I had a lot of hot food that made me sick. You know, but done, you know, and that's why I don't jump on a lot of podcasts and or just whatever, because I like to get my thoughts. I want my thoughts to be done, you know, because I'm presented to the people and, you know, so I'm with that. And that's why, you know, but I'm a theme writer. So this is what helps me. Mm. I'm a theme writer. I write on a theme, and I think that speeds up the process because I'm not going all over.
Yeah. You know, interesting.
You know, that's how. So for me,
that's my husband has, because my husband's in music. He's a writer as well, but a songwriter.
Yeah.
And so anytime, like when I'm getting ready to start a new hour, he'll like pitch that idea to like have a theme.
Have a theme, but just a little central something.
Yes, and that, because that's how he writes.
Yes.
That's how he writes his songs. And he'll get, I forget what they call the directive or whatever, where it's like, okay, CBS is looking for a song, because he writes sync music for like commercials, movie trailers, stuff like that. Yeah. So they'll be like, okay, CBS has this new show. It's about this, this, and this. They're looking for a song that sounds like this, this, and this. Okay. They want it to have this feel and say this kind of thing. So then he'll go in the studio and not write like a verbatim hitting it on the nose, but he'll give you the world of what you asked for.
Yes.
But it was like a theme.
That's a theme.
So he'll be like, why don't you try writing like that? And I'd be like, go write your songs.
Go write your little songs. Go,
you know what?
Yeah, but that helps. It helps me just to know, okay, boom, I got this theme. So you could put me on the stage. And we could talk about, you know, whatever. Like if I'm doing something for fathers, like I have a Father's Day set. It's gonna be for fathers. I have a Mother's Day set just for mothers. You know, I have a singles set. Like the next special that Ali's gonna produce for me is called Acting Married for Singles.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's just everything themed. It's just that way. It just keeps me in line, and I feel like people know what they coming to see. Like I'm coming, like this is for us.
Yeah. I love what you said in your special rehab when you were talking about you did that podcast and you were talking about marriage and you thought you were saying something good about your wife, and then all these singles in the comments.
Oh, they kill me.
My God, like
they killed.
It's so funny because as soon as you said that, I was like, I need to show my husband this because he'll be saying the same thing that, and he'll watch those like YouTube like shows or debates or like dating or like where they're asking like all these single girls and they'll be like, well, what do you think you are? And they'll be like, oh, I'm an eight, and they'll be like, and so he'll watch all these shows.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering, like, how did you not comment back or like get involved? Like, you're just listening.
I never coming back.
Go.
I come in back by writing.
That's right. You have a new special, and now they're in it.
That's how I do it. Because, and don't get me wrong, I wasn't mad at them because I get it, because they probably feel attacked, like, you know. But I'm just saying, when you married, you need people around you who married. Bottom line. I mean, this is not a big aha moment.
Yeah.
This don't mean I don't have single friends. I have them. I just don't listen to them as it relates to marriage. You see what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. Yes. Because of course they like, you stupid. Oh, I've been gone. I'm out of here. I could do bad all by myself. All of those single jargon that don't make any sense for married people. Yeah, it don't make, you know, so, yeah. So I wasn't mad at him, but I just like, oh, okay. Okay, dokie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I was listening to that part and I was like, oh my gosh, how do you not be like, boop, boop, boop.
Actually, so do you go back with people in your...
No. Okay, see, I'm that's just another asking. Thing too, but I rarely put myself in the position. Well, now with this podcast and we're clipping out, we do get more opinions coming through.
Sure, you're going to get them.
But before that, I rarely am like speaking on something to where you're going to be like, oh, let me give you my opposite opinion of you because I'm rarely declaring stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But now with the podcast, I'm giving my opinion about things and then we'll clip it out.
Sure.
And
sure.
I'm finding a lot of people do not agree.
Oh man.
With some things that I say.
Man.
But yeah, that
welcome
was,
to my life.
That was some and then you said what did you say?
Welcome to my life.
I could do bad by myself. Yeah. Even the crackheads.
Nobody wants to do bad by it. I mean, there's nobody in the world that go, you know what? I want to do bad by myself. But it just sounds good to say. I could do bad by myself. Yeah, okay. But nobody. Crackheads, homeless people.
They all got a buddy.
They all got somebody with them. What are we talking about, man? That's crazy.
My gosh. Okay. Let's do one more quick gratitude, and then Danielle has a couple of just rapid fire.
Okay.
She's going to give you a couple situations. You tell me if you would have a mattitude or a gratitude about that situation. But give me one more gratitude from your life.
One more gratitude. I'm grateful to be able to have a career that I really like. You know, I know it's a lot of people out, you know, they own jobs and they working and they probably don't even like it. Cause I've had them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And to be able to, you know, make a living and it's like having fun, you know, like really, you know, cause it's not something I gotta do. I look at it as something I get to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so my whole perspective on it is just different. People always ask, man, don't you get tired of traveling? No, I get tired from it, but not tired of it because I know that that's tied to making this money. I mean, you know, so I'm not going to complain about it, you know, and all that. So, yeah, very grateful.
That's a good perspective. Tired from it, not tired of it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
What was being a professor the last thing you did before it was full-time touring stand-up?
Yes.
Was that when you were like, okay, I'm done being a professor? Was that a hard choice for you, or were you just like,
well, no, low key got fired.
Oh,
let me say that. I low key got fired. No, because I would still be a professor.
Okay,
I mean, but it was straight. I didn't get fired. But what happened? I went on a tour while I was a professor, and they didn't like that. Yeah, in the middle of the thing, you know. But I went through all the proper channels to get it done, and they kind of, you know, they rubbed them the wrong way. Well, it rubbed the teacher, some of the other professors there. Why he get, you know, one of them type things. And, you know, man, life not fair. You know, and as a professor, they making more money than me. Uh-huh. You know, I'm probably making 50 grand a year, which I'm not trying to poo-poo it, but okay. Mm-hmm. I'm making 50 grand a year, and I really enjoyed the job.
Yeah.
And you have people who are in six figures there mad. And me, you know, you know, tripping. So yeah. But that was it. I like multiple jobs, but they have to fit. They have to fit. Like being on the morning show, that fit my comedy.
Yeah.
You know, being a professor, that fit the comedy. I'm not about to go work at Nordstrom's. You know, that don't fit.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Danielle, do you have some rapid?
Come on, Danielle.
Fire.
Yes.
Let me sit up.
Hello. Yes. You know what's funny? One of the rapid fire one was actually Marcus's first mattitude, which was I had written automatic gratuity added to the check.
Oh,
so
God.
We already know where you stand on that one.
Yes.
Mad at it.
Yes.
Mad.
What did you say, Ange?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Alrighty. So your first one is you receive unexpected, brutally honest advice.
Gratitude. Especially if it's coming from a good place, you know. I'm not a person who subscribes to mean and nice. You know, I think these are two words we use very loosely. And it's based off of getting your way. You know, if I don't give my child something, I'm mean. No, I'm not mean. I'm not giving it to you because you're not ready to have it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. So I can receive some brutal, crushing advice as long as it's coming from a good place.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Your Uber driver is a chatty Cathy.
Because I've had this. But I like to talk. So I'm going to go with, I'm grateful. I mean, hey, man, these people get people in their car all day long.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they see a very fly guy in the back. Why not talk to him? That's cool.
I feel like, you know, I enjoy talking with the Uber driver as long as it's not about myself. Like, I don't, well, what do you do? And now I'm like, ugh, here we go. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden some sort of topic
comes up. We talk about the music or something. Yeah.
Yes. We drive by some restaurant and we're talking about that restaurant. Oh, you know, that used to be blah, blah. I like that.
You like that.
I like to engage with people, just not when it's like an interview.
An interview for you. Well, it normally turns out to be that way. But, you know, I normally tell people when they ask me what you do, I say, oh, I'm a stripper.
You're so dumb.
And that's what I tell them. They be like, And I just leave it at that.
No follow-up.
Because, you know, they don't know what action I like.
Ooh, I wonder if you said you were a preacher. Like, if they would be like, oh, no. God, let me not.
You know what? Now that you say that, I'm going to try that now.
Because now they might be like, oh, he going to know I'm sinning. Let me not.
No, they not. They going to try. So, you a preacher? Yeah. You smoke? I mean, they going to try to stain the brand, you know?
Go again, Danielle. Go ahead.
Okay. Someone takes credit for your idea, but the idea happens, you know?
I've had that. Now, that's mattitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, if I gave you the idea and you used it, I'm not mad that it worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not mad that it worked. What I am mad at is the credit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the money. Mm-hmm. the least I could get is the credit. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm the one who I gave it to you, you know. Just give me some credit. But
okay, I have a question for that.
All right.
Because I'm thinking of a situation that I've been in.
Okay.
Oh.
So.
Then you say, ooh.
What would be, okay, so I remember there was this situation.
Uh-huh.
And I text my friend.
Uh-huh.
And her husband were both on the text. Okay. We'll do a little group text with each other all the time. And I had this idea, and I was like, you should do something like this.
Okay.
And then I sent it to her. I was like, you should do something like you would crush this.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Yeah. Years go by. She ends up doing the thing.
She did it. Yeah.
And I remember when the thing happened, and I sent them both a text again and be like, oh my gosh, this came out so great.
Yeah.
And neither one of them was like,
thank you.
Thanks for sending that to me a couple years ago when you you brought this up. Neither one of them said that. They're like, oh my God, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so
and
much.
I feel like I don't even need like a public, like this person gave me this idea. I don't need that.
No.
Just a little like, hey, thanks for putting this on my radar.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't mad about it, but I did clock it. And I'm like, I thought they would. Maybe they don't remember that.
Yeah.
It was a couple of years ago, but I don't know.
I guess it was their idea.
Yeah,
because that's what people do. I mean, you know, I'm real free with the convo, real free with ideas I give to people all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm just saying, I don't want to see you on an interview talking about the idea I gave you with you not at least saying, yeah, you know, with my partner, you know, said that he brought it up, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I mean, that's all. I'm not getting paid. I'm not getting nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even want anything. So that's what I'm saying. I didn't want anything, but you would just think, come on, man, have something kind, nice to say about, you know, what I gave you, about me. Help me out, you know? That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I didn't say, man, you need to pay me for this. I need this. But no, just, but, you know, because that's what I would do. That's what I would do. Just like I tell everybody, what I tell about Ali. He the one who, you know, a lot of where I'm at today is what he did. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That don't hurt me.
No.
I still got to go be funny. I mean, he can't do the jokes for me.
Yeah.
But he did put me on the path, you know, for me to go do my thing.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not paying him nothing. See how that works? Ain't nobody mad.
Give him a little shout out.
Give him a little shout out.
That's all he needs. Give me one more, Danielle. Give me one more.
Okay. Waking up before your alarm goes off.
I do this every morning. gratitude. Mm-hmm. I'm happy I woke up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There we go.
Happy I woke up. So it's better to wake up before the alarm than not to wake.
That's true. That's true.
Not to wake up, because that would be very alarming. And so, yeah, grateful.
I would say gratitude as well, but gratitude. Also in increments. If it's like 10, 15 minutes before my alarm, yeah, I'm grateful because I peacefully woke up instead of being jolted awake by my alarm. So I'm like, oh, this feels good. I was about to get up anyway. But if it's like 45 minutes,
I know
I'm not going to be able to fall back asleep. I could have still been asleep right now. It goes in increments for me.
Yeah. Nah, you right about that. God, I hate when I wake up and be like that. You wake up, you're supposed to be getting up at 7 and it's 6:10.
Uh-huh. Had so much time. So much time. Or the worst, when you have a flight the next day and then you keep waking up thinking it's time to get up.
I do that all the time on the road.
Yep.
Because I don't want to miss my flight coming home.
Then you start doing the math.
Yeah.
And you're like, how many more hours do I get to sleep? Okay, if I fall asleep right now, I'll get 3 hours.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So anywho, I think did it hang up? Danielle, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, the screen went away. So I take my attitudes and gratitudes in increments of 15 minutes is how that works for me in my alarm. Marcus, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I had a good time.
Good. Thank you. Thanks for taking time. I know you just got off a plane and you came straight here, and I appreciate it. I'm so grateful for you.
No doubt.
I hope your taping, it goes, I know it will. It's going to be spectacular. You're about to get two specials out of it.
Come on.
You are hilarious. You are so talented. Your words have power. Like, there's people.
Look at you preaching.
There's people in the audience and at home watching you, not even realizing that something shifted inside of them. They thought they were just watching a stand-up comedian telling some jokes. They're going to walk away funny, and they're actually walking away with a little shift inside of them. Maybe it's the way they communicate with their partner or whatever it is, but something happened just by watching your comedy, and I think that's so amazing.
I appreciate it.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. All right. Bye, everybody.
Peace.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.